Travel Talk with Visit Spain. Discover the smile of the sun in the Canary Islands because you deserve Spain.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to Travel Talk. And my special guest today is Rachel Lewis. And Rachel, you have a very nice title. Can you repeat it for me again?
I'm Campaign and Partnership Manager for the South African Tourism Board.
Wonderful. And South Africa, of course, a place that Irish people have a love affair with over the years. Can you tell me, Rachel, about South Africa now these days? I mean, you know, how is it doing tourism-wise after COVID? How are things there?
So South Africa had obviously one of the strictest lockdowns in the world during COVID, but now it's all completely in the past. We are moving forward, and tourism in South Africa was really held up by domestic tourism during the past few years. And it is an absolute joy to have South Africans enjoying South Africa the way that they really should. It means that the product is still there, it's been developing, and now international tourists are coming back in and we are thriving again. We were in November, the November arrivals compared to November 2019 arrivals, Ireland had recovered to 75% of where they used to be. So that is a really positive news story.
Amazing. Now, I remember South Africa when I went there and ended up living there for 7 years because I fell completely in love with the place the first time I landed there. But I remember for me, it was like seven countries in one, right? There was the beaches, there was the beautiful scenery, the mountains, the food, the winelands, the safaris, of course. But I mean, it had kind of everything.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, as you said, it was seven countries in one. It's got the desert, it's got the national parks of like Kruger, but then you've got the wetlands of KwaZulu-Natal, the beaches of KwaZulu-Natal, as well as the mountains. You've got the rugged coast of the Wild Coast. You've got the Garden Route, which is so stunning. But then Cape Town, which could be a different country in itself. All up the west coast towards Namibia, you've got Johannesburg, which is such a pulse of Africa. It's an incredible city as well. So yes, you are absolutely right. It's an insane country to try and represent and remember as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was a place you'd never tire of. Like, for example, I remember the wine, to talk about the wine, has been, of course, Stellenbosch, Franschhoek. And then I ended up living in a place called Durbanville, which had seven little Meerendaal, Bloemendaal. And like, it was really like a bit like heaven on earth to a certain extent. You know, those images you have of the kind of quintessential outback, and it had everything. The ostriches, of course, you know, you had the animals everywhere, the wildlife. And yet it was like symbiotic because you had the townships, you know, and you had this extreme poverty, and yet you had great wealth. But it was amazing the way first world and third world married together in South Africa, and it just worked.
Yeah, I mean, look, the way that the country is separated and separated out is really interesting. Obviously, you've got the township spaces, but they've become their own little economies now. So it's not about people leaving the township to go to work necessarily. They're actually creating their own opportunities within the township. So you have urban farming, you've got cycle tours, you've got restaurants, you've even got hotels popping up in townships in Cape Town as well. And people are owning their own space again, and they are sharing it with the world. And it is a really positive news story.
Yeah, I think I had one of the best nights ever in a shebeen in one of the townships. And you can actually, I mean, of course, you're talking about sustainable tourism. I mean, you can stay there now as well.
Yes.
I mean, it was just a unique experience. In terms of people that haven't been before, imagine, I mean, you know, you said there, Cape Town, the Garden Route, the safaris, of course, loads of malaria-free places for safari as well. People always asking about, you know, malaria and stuff. But I never had a tablet or an injection in 7 years, would you believe it? And I never got anything. But really fantastic that even that whole Cape Town Garden Route and then safari at the end. I mean, for someone who hasn't been there before, what would you sort of say, would recommend?
So if you've never been to South Africa before, I always recommend to people that they do a bookend of their trip. They figure out, I would say, 5 days in Cape Town, 3 days on safari. And what you do in between is very much based on your personal interests. So you could go into the winelands for a few days and then fly and go on safari. You can drive the entire length of the Garden Route and doing your adventure activities and, you know, doing your hiking and taking in that scenery and then finishing off on safari. You can stay in the city longer if you wanted to. So you've got so many different options to fill in, colour in the blanks if you like. But the Garden Route, Cape Town Garden Route, and ending in safari just outside of Gqeberha, which is the new name for Port Elizabeth. People will be a lot more familiar with the name Port Elizabeth, but it's now Gqeberha. But that would be your iconic first time South Africa trip. And I can assure you, once you've been, you're going to go back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first time I ever went there was like 1994. And of course, there was so much happening then. And you know, we had a love affair here, of course, with Nelson Mandela with the ANC. And I mean, Bono was best friends with Nelson Mandela, you know, so there was this gorgeous Irish camaraderie between us. And I was lucky enough, my birthday is the 18th of July, which is the same date as Nelson Mandela. So I used to have great fun when it was my birthday. But it was just the, Robben Island, I mean, going to see the cell where he spent all those years, the little cell, you know, 66 or whatever the number on it. It was just incredible, you know. And I mean, the whole way that the country has transformed itself between that time and this, I mean, even just the history alone for people to go and see, I think, is just, it's kind of incredible.
Absolutely. I mean, the one of the amazing things about South Africa, about the history and culture, is you've got the cradle of humankind, which is where humanity was born, which is just outside of Johannesburg. And then it's all the way through to this living history that we've all kind of lived through, obviously, if you're over a certain age. But you can really follow that from the moment that Nelson Mandela was captured in KwaZulu-Natal. You can go up to Constitution Hill, which is where he was first held as prisoner. You can go to Pretoria, where he was sentenced. You can see Soweto, where he actually lived and practiced law. And you can go to Robben Island, where he spent 18 of his 27 years in jail, and actually see the cell and the limestone quarries where he worked, right the way up to looking at where he made his first speech outside of prison. So you can really live that whole journey within South Africa, in all over the country. That footprint is everywhere. His birthplace is actually in Kunu, in the Eastern Cape. Again, you live that entire journey. It's incredible.
Yeah, and I always remember as well, I mean, in terms of adventure and activity, I mean, it's an activity or nature lover's paradise. I mean, I'm shark cage diving, and Handspy, then where the two oceans meet there, you know, the Cape Peninsula tour, the penguins on the beach, those cute little penguins, Simonstown. I mean, just the memories are flooding back to me now, but it was just that amazing, stunning, scenic beauty, really, wasn't it? I mean, for anybody who's into adventure and swimming and outdoors. And
the plethora of activities that you can get up to in South Africa is insane. I was just in Cape Town in November, and within 5 days, I'd been swimming in the Atlantic. I'd been ziplining across the winelands. We'd done e-biking through the vineyards. You can then obviously go, we did swimming with seals off the coast down near Cape Point. But on top of that, you've got climbing Lion's Head, which at sunrise, you can climb Table Mountains as well. It takes a bit longer. You've got the largest bungee jump in the world.
I did that.
You did that.
I thought my eyeballs were going to pop out.
I have yet to do it. But you've got
the Kramsal Bridge, I think.
The Blokrons Bridge in Titicama National Park. You've got...
I wouldn't do it now, Rachel. But
oh, you should do it again.
Incredible.
But kayaking, and you can literally do all of those things. And it's everything from just a soft adventure of an hour and a half hike all the way up to, you know, cage diving with sharks or, you know, kite surfing off the coast. There's so much to do in South Africa. It's insane. The as you said, the scenic beauty, but the geography just lends itself to this. It's not about being indoors. It's about being outdoors. It's about experiencing the country. It's incredible.
Yeah. And of course, the one thing, I mean, I remember I met Gary Player when I was there once at an event, and it was a beautiful place. And in Kirstenbosch Gardens, Michael Bublé sang there, you know, I mean, just, and Elton John sang at the cricket club another time, but, you know, beautiful. In terms of golf, again, of course, it's a golfer's paradise, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, golfer's paradise, some of the greatest holes in the world are in South Africa. You've got the Gary Player course at Sun City, of course. You've got Ernie Els, who's affiliated with South Africa, and he's got his own wine brand down there. You've got Pearl Valley, you've got the Cape Town, it's Fan Court, all the way along the garden route, you can be playing golf. It is, I know that the Irish market in particular has a love affair with the golf in South Africa. So yes, it is a perfect place to go.
Yeah. Now we must just touch as well on, of course, you hear a lot in the news and stuff about sometimes your crime and different things. What would you say to people about that now? What advice would you give?
Actually, one of the things that you just said there is really interesting is you hear a lot in the news. You don't actually hear that much in the news anymore. You very rarely hear of tourists. You very rarely hear of tourists actually going through anything in South Africa. It's very much a case of, when you're there, you're just being sensible. The places where the tourists are, you know, are very incident free. They do have a lot of security, but just use your common sense. Don't be going anywhere you don't know. Don't be driving at night. Don't be walking down with all of your jewelry out hanging, you know, all over your body. It's fine. I've been there 25 times. I've never had an incident, and I am a single female traveler a lot of the time. And I genuinely, sticking to the areas that I know and love, and sticking to the areas that are very tourist friendly, you will be absolutely fine in South Africa.
Yeah, I mean, and I can, I mean, I was there for 7 years, as I said. Mm. I mean, I was very, nothing ever happened to me either. And people that came down on holidays, I used to organise lots of trips for people, yeah, and they all had a great time. So yeah, but just something I wanted to touch on.
Absolutely.
Now, in terms of accessibility, Rachel, getting there now,
yeah,
there's some really good fares from Dublin with like Turkish Airlines, yes, and lots of different long haul. What are the good deals out there now?
Turkish Airlines will always be your kind of go-to from Dublin. It's an amazing value. And then the connectivity is great down to South Africa via Istanbul. And obviously their new airport is incredible. But also don't forget to look at those European carriers. You've obviously got British Airways via London, but Lufthansa and KLM, etc., have got some really amazing deals down to South Africa at the moment. And they fly into Cape Town and Joburg. If you want to go a bit further, you can go via the Middle East. Obviously Qatar and Emirates fly into all three of our main cities, into Durban as well. So that's a really nice option to get through. And the connectivity is good. But the flight prices have gone up as with every destination post-COVID, but we will see them settle down in the future. And I think you're looking around 600 to 700 euros at a decent rate to get down to South Africa.
And of course, with the rand and the rate it is now, yes, Rachel, you can really live like a little king down there, or a queen, can't you? Because you can really treat yourself. And the accommodation offerings are amazing. I mean, some of the, from sort of normal sort of, you know, safari parks to, you can go up to like some incredible places like Ava Garden or Mogambo or something.
Yes.
But in terms of accommodation, it's got a massive variety, isn't there?
I mean, the variety is insane. I mean, you can get a lovely boutique-y city hotel in Cape Town for around about 60 to 70 euros a night. But obviously there are more budget-friendly options in Airbnbs. However, you can go all the way up to Sabi Sabi in the Kruger, or you can stay at Gita right in the heart of the Kruger. And these, even though they do sit at a higher price point, the value for money that you're getting. And don't forget, when you're there eating out, drinking a glass of wine, a bottle of wine, it's around about €4 for a large glass of wine at the waterfront in Cape Town now. So, you know, is the equivalent to being on Temple Bar.
Yeah, no, I know. And if you go into Durbanville, it's about €2.
Exactly.
But again, wonderful. Rachel, it's been so lovely to talk to you today. What website is good for people to go to if they want to get info on booking a holiday?
If you go to www.southafrica.net, there'll be all the information that you need.
Rachel Lewis, buy a donkey.
Uh-huh, buy a donkey.
Travel Talk with Visit Spain. Discover the smile of the sun in the Canary Islands, because you deserve Spain.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.